Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesse Kelly Show, let's have some fun on a Tuesday, and we are all over the place here on this Tuesday. Everything from the feds setting some guy up and sending him away for life to reparations. Uh-oh, buckle up, New York, for that one. We have a strike. I'm actually going to stand with the workers who are about to strike. Loudly, I say we all need to support them. I will discuss that tonight. We'll discuss children, evil people. We have emails, vaccine mandates. Why are kids getting so sick this year? All that and so much more to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show tonight. And let me just say, this is how this generally works in radio. And I only know this now because remember, I'm new to radio. I've only been doing this 4 years. I know this because they had to hire me a radio coach to teach me how to, like, basics, not how to do the show, but they would say, hey, you need to tease what's coming next. And I never knew what any of these things were. But anyway, he has told me repeatedly that you have to try to lead with the big stories of the day. That's all you want to try to lead with that. And I'll be frank, sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. Well, that's not fair. I oftentimes think the bigger story is not the one everyone else is talking about. So sometimes I'll talk about something no one else has talked about to lead the show. Today, I'm most definitely going to do that. I don't have any idea how many radio, conservative talk radio shows there are in the country. There are a lot of them, a lot of really good ones too, especially local ones. Tons of great local talent out there. And I don't know how many TV shows there are in the country, conservative TV shows, a ton of them. But I promise you this, not one of them is leading with this. I don't really care, because I am. Arthur L. Pierce. Have you ever heard of the name Arthur L. Pierce? You probably have not ever heard of the name. And I am bringing him up today because he happens to be in the news today. Even though he died a long, long, long time ago, about 80 years ago, he's in the news today. Why? Because his remains were just identified. He was a World War II veteran. And I'm going to explain generally, because I wasn't personally there and I don't have all the details of his story, I'm going to explain why I'm bringing up Arthur L. Pierce's name and what he went through here briefly. Is this going to lead any headlines? Nope, and I don't give a crap. You see, Arthur L. Pierce, he was part of an engineering battalion in the Philippines prior to World War II. You should know this. I've brought this up before on the show. We were extremely close with the Philippines prior to World War II. We had just decided that we were going to be best friends, and our militaries were working together all the time. Our economies were working together all the time. And there was just a wonderful relationship there. And this is part of World War II people don't know. We had a military presence in the Philippines, and the military presence in the Philippines was considered one of the cherry jobs out there. I've even seen, I've seen some colorized World War II photographs and video from the Philippines prior to the Japanese invasion, and it's the kind of dream thing you want. Like when I was in the Marines, I was stationed in 29 Palms, California. That's in the middle of the Mojave Desert. They actually sold shirts on the base that said 29 Palms, 20 miles from water, 2 miles from hell. That's what it said on the, it's one of, it's, look, when they told us where we were going to be sent, we were in School of Infantry, and they said, you guys are going to 29 Palms. They were all snickering like, ha, 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 you poor saps. So there are ones you want, and there are ones you don't. If you were in the Army back then in the 30s, and you got word that you were getting stationed in the Philippines, life is good, baby. It wasn't really an infantry station. You're going to go over there. Yes, you're going to train. You're going to train with the Filipinos. Yes, it gets hot and rainy, but it was one. It was the good life. Run around chasing some Filipino dimes around, couple beers on the weekend, beach volleyball. I think I'll head down to the beach and relax and tan. It's a good life. And then the Japanese invade. Well, keep in mind, I want to bring this up over and over again. Arthur L. Pierce, he was not a Green Beret. He wasn't one of these... He wasn't one of these guys that that's what he signed up to do. That's no discredit to what he did. He was in an engineer battalion, living a good life. And then the Japanese invade, and he finds himself trapped. Trapped on the Bataan Peninsula. As the Japanese ran our guys into the Bataan Peninsula, and we retreated. We did a tactical retreat to the Bataan Peninsula. Our guys were dug in, trying to hold the Japanese off. And I just want to explain just a little bit of what our guys went through, what Mr. Arthur L. Pierce undoubtedly went through. You see, when we got trapped on the Bataan Peninsula, we started running out of food. Very quickly, our guys were starving. They were starving to the point where they would catch anything they could find that was living, and they would eat it. What's the most desperate you've ever been to eat? Have you ever been desperate enough to grab a baby monkey and kill it and eat it? No, you haven't. Have you ever been desperate enough to dig up rocks and find any grub worms or bugs underneath and eat them? No, you haven't. Our guys on Bataan were. Our guys were trapped. There was nobody coming to save them, no naval force that could save them. They're eating monkeys and worms and bugs. Oh, did I mention the Japanese would regularly infiltrate behind the lines and they'd sneak through the lines and find the medical tents and start bayoneting people to death in the medical tents. They would take loudspeakers and broadcast horrifying threats at night as you're alone in the jungle starving and your buddy just got bayoneted the night before. That's what Mr. Arthur L. Pierce went through. And then on top of all that, something you forget about, something I forget about, dysentery, malaria, and disease. They went through horrific diseases over there. I had dysentery once when I went to Thailand. It feels like you swallowed a bunch of razor blades and then they get in a razor blade fight in your guts. That's what it feels like. I went through dysentery and it was a living hell, and I went through dysentery in the air conditioning because I got it on the ship heading back to Okinawa. They went through dysentery knowing the devil was right outside of their door. And so by the time we had to surrender on Bataan, Mr. Arthur L. Pierce and the other brave warriors there who fought as long as they could, before the Bataan Death March began, everyone knows about the Bataan Death March, you should understand that the men who went on that death march weren't young, healthy guys ready to go. They were skin and bones because they'd been starving and pooping themselves for a month on Bataan before they were taken captive. They were already in horrific shape. And Mr. Arthur L. Pierce, like 15 minutes before, was stationed on a cherry base in the Philippines, and he found himself starving and racked with disease on a Bataan death march, watching men have their heads chopped off. And then eventually he found himself in a Japanese prison of war prison camp where I don't know what he specifically went through. I don't have his story. I do know the stories of torture are horrific. I know that our guys were treated, well, like the worst slaves in history, because that's what they were viewed as by the Japanese. And I know Arthur L. Pierce, in the same year he was captured, 1942, after surviving the Bataan defense, after surviving the Bataan death march, eventually succumbed to disease and died July 19th, 1942, as a Japanese prisoner of war, and he died horribly. And we're going to say his name to open my show tonight, and we're going to honor a hero and all those who died like that, forgotten in some hellhole. Rest in peace, Mr. Arthur L. Pierce. We got to remember them, huh? All right. Now we'll get on to other things. We have a great funny email. We have reparations. We have the feds getting out of control. All that is to come now on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, there's something else that's going to come. Now, it's not going to come on the show. I have to be honest. It's going to come for me after the show. The wife has to run around with sports practices tonight with the kiddos. And there's even a band concert. I don't want to get into the details of it. Long story short, guess who's on his own for dinner when I get home? Because no one will be in the house. Now, normally that would result in me making some Kraft Mac and weenies. And that may happen tonight. But I know what else is definitely on the menu because it's actually good for me and it's easy. I have a bag of Biloxi shrimp already busted out, sitting in the kitchen sink. And when I get home, it's going to take me 5 to 10 minutes to drop it in a vat of butter in a skillet, put on some of that Biloxi herbs and spices, and enjoy. I may even go high class tonight and make some garlic bread out of hamburger buns and enjoy it with it. Go get some Biloxi shrimp delivered to your front door. American Shrimp. American Shrimp Boats and the best shrimp you've ever had in your life. BiloxiShrimpCo.com. Promo code Jesse. Go get you some. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. You know what's exhausting? What's exhausting right now with everything else going on, all the crap going on, is this never-ending spat between McConnell and Trump. Why does McConnell feel the need to comment on every single thing Trump does? This is Mitch McConnell from today.
First, let me just say that there is no room in the Republican Party for anti-Semitism or white supremacy. And anyone meeting with people advocating that point of view, in my judgment, are highly unlikely to ever be elected president.
That was McConnell from before. This is McConnell from today.
First, let me just say that anyone seeking the presidency who thinks that the Constitution could somehow be suspended or not followed, it seems to me, would have a very hard time being sworn in as president of the United States.
Okay, do you have any idea how many unconstitutional things Mitch McConnell has led on in his career? Can we please look? We're not going to suspend the Constitution, but let's not act like the Constitution is somehow still the governing law of the land in this country. Can we please stop the fake hand wringing, virtue signaling about the Constitution when none of you pieces of trash in Congress follow the Constitution or have any interest in it at all? Now, we're going to set that aside. I'll come back to that in a minute. I talk a lot about communism. I'm an anti-communist. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a libertarian. I'm not a nationalist. I'm not a conservative. I'm an anti-communist. And I need to explain why. I'm going to give you my justification here for everyone who's new. Long-time listeners will already know this. I understand the different factions on the right. Like I just mentioned, there are libertarians. A bunch of libertarians listen to the show. And nationalists listen to the show. Or traditional conservatives, neoconservatives. All these different factions on the right. I understand that, and I get all of them. In fact, I have a lot of similarities with a lot of you. I totally get it. But here's why I'm an anti-communist. Because every single one of you, no matter what faction you're in, you're all going to be eaten alive by the communist menace unless he is stopped. So whatever your differences are, they can be worked out after the wolf who's crossed into the pasture has been defeated. We're the sheep arguing over the patch of the pasture we get to graze on while the wolf is licking his chops coming our way. Nothing else matters. What you believe, I believe about government or laws or taxes or anything, none of it matters at all unless communists are defeated first, because the communist is already through the walls. We have to defeat him first. Anti-communism trumps all, because nothing else matters unless the communist is defeated. Now, we do have a different kind of communism here in America. Communism has always taken a different form, always has taken a different form in every country. It looked different in China than it did in the Soviet Union. Throughout the years, as it's advanced, it takes a different form. Why? Because communism focuses on society's malcontents. That's all it is. You find whatever malcontents a society has produced. You grab them, you convince them that you will hurt the people they blame for their problems if they give you power, and that's all communism is. We didn't have malcontented workers here in America. We had different malcontents. And today what you see is this. People think, and relatively normal people, even people on the right, even informed people, they think this. This is what they think. They think there are different branches, different groups. Oh, the feminists are totally different than the climate change nutters. Oh, no. The civil rights hustlers, those guys are way different than the LGBTQ guys. They have nothing to do with each other. They're all the same group. They're all the same group. All the same group. I have used this example before. If I'm standing on a stage in front of 100 people, and I want to find the malcontents because I'm going to use them as foot soldiers to give myself power. And I stand up on that stage and I say, women have been oppressed. Follow me. Well, how many of the 100 am I going to get with that? 5, maybe 10 ladies with their crew cuts and whatnot. That's it. So I need more. That's not enough. Okay, women have been oppressed and America's racist. Okay, well, that's good, good. I'll scarf up another 5 to 10 more. Nice. Okay, well, that's still not enough. Dang it. All right. Women have been depressed and America's racist and gay people have been practically killed. Okay, nice. We got all the Air Force guys on board. And now you see where I'm going here? All they did was continue to expand the communist umbrella in order to bring more malcontents into the tent, which will give them the power they need to do what they really all want to do in the end. They all want to destroy the United States of America. That is the goal. They believe this country is evil and racist and wrong and polluting the planet, and they believe its destruction is an act of good, is a good thing. They have all combined to do that. There are two different things I'm going to show you next. I'm going to tell you what New York lawmakers are doing when it comes to reparations, and I'm going to prep you for what's coming, not just in New York, but nationally. And I'm going to play you a little bit of CNN to bring it all home. Hang on.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
it's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday night. Let's check in with President Poopy Pants and see what he has to say about the border.
State and not visit the border. Because the more important thing going on, they're going to invest billions of dollars in a new enterprise.
Why aren't you going to the border? Because there's more important things going on. And so, once again, Corinne Diversity Hire had to step up to the podium and read her notes trying to defend President Poopy Pants.
Can you clarify those remarks? Was he being dismissive?
I mean, like, happy to. Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I just laid out a couple moments ago, like, when the president first walked into the administration, the first thing he did was put forth a comprehensive immigration reform.
Yeah, this is a great administration. All right, back to what we were talking about here. Big headline today. Everyone's talking about it. New York lawmakers push for slavery reparations for black residents. You see, California kind of got this thing ramped up. California had its $500-some billion California is going to start handing out to descendants of slaves. I know it's we're talking like a couple hundred thousand dollars a piece is what California's doing. Of course, New York is hopping on this train as well. They all have the same goal in mind. Remember this, and remember, they have no incentive to stop this kind of insanity. You read stuff like this and you think, "What? That's my taxpayer money. Don't you want hold on, you're going to take my money from me?" And you're going to hand it to people that have never even seen slavery, let alone been slavery? What? How? You can't do that. No, you can do that if you're in New York and you just ritually abused your citizens for 2 years during COVID and they overwhelmingly went to the polls and voted you back into office. You can do that because the protest or because the people have told you over and over again, they won't punish you at all for any level of insanity. What you're seeing now is not some temporary blip of insanity. What you're seeing now is where we're going. But back to what we were talking about, how they're all just the same branch. It's not about black people. It's not about racism or civil rights. The feminists are not about women. The climate change nutters aren't about the gay people aren't about gay people. This is all about destruction. Everything is only about destruction. I want to play you something. It's this lady on CNN, Lauren Coates is her name, because yesterday there was a big case argued in front of the Supreme Court. Christian wedding caterer did not want to cater a wedding for a gay couple. Okay, that's her belief system, perfectly allowed to do that. If you lived in a free country, I should say, she's perfectly allowed to do that. But somehow it went from an argument about that to somehow being about race. What?
At what point can someone say, I'm an artist, and not really be one. My question really is, what is art? I mean, obviously, I'm not disparaging your art form. I had a wedding website. I understand it. It's a whole thing. I know you're an artist. But what is to distinguish you from somebody saying, well, you know what? Look, my macaroni and cheese in this restaurant is a work of art. This pie is a work of art. The way that I sell, have make my clothing in this boutique, works of art. So you know what? I don't want somebody in here who's gay, who's black, who's Jewish, who's disabled. What is the line that distinguishes, say, you from the artist that somebody could, under the auspices of saying they're an artiste, do the same thing? Do you have those concerns?
You understand you should be able to refuse service to anyone for any reason if you lived in a truly free country, right? If I started a restaurant and I decided I didn't want to allow any Italians in there, no Italians and no men under 5'8", which again, that's Italians. And if I lived in a free country, I should be allowed to do that. You realize that, right? In fact, I should be allowed to put a sign up on the restaurant door saying no men under 5'8 and no Italians are allowed to eat in here. Would that make me bigoted? Yeah. Would it mean I probably have a business that's going to go out of business because people are not going to want to dine there? Yeah. But guess what? That's called freedom. If you live in a free country, that means you're also free to be bigoted with your business services against anyone you so choose. And that can apply to, look, if it applied to me too, I would have the exact same feeling. This restaurant, big sign on the door, this restaurant doesn't serve 6'8", very handsome menu whisperers. What, Chris? All right, this restaurant doesn't serve menu whisperers who build sheds with their bare hands. Fine. I'll take my business elsewhere. Look, even if I got angry, even if I thought, no, I really want to come in there. Those look like good cheese sticks. I would simply go somewhere else because it's their freedom to do so. You understand that bigotry is freedom, right? Does that make you uncomfortable? Maybe it does. I don't care if it makes you uncomfortable. It's not my problem. It's true. Bigotry is freedom. Being prejudiced is freedom. That you're free to be a jerk. You're totally free to be a jerk if you live in a free country. If you, however, live in a tyranny of some kind, then you're no longer free to be a jerk. If you live in a country where a gay couple can force a Christian who doesn't want to cater their wedding, you don't live in a free country. You already live in a tyranny. You live in the U.S. of gay. You do. It's a fact. And that's where we're going, and we're going there rapidly. And let me explain why we're going there so rapidly. Yes, you can blame the communists, and that's very, very, very fair. It's their fault. They've assaulted it. They're trying to destroy the place. That's fair. Right? That's a fair criticism of blaming the communists. But it's bigger than that. A big reason why we're going there and going there so quickly is people don't even understand what freedom actually means. Because here in America, we have been free and prosperous for so long, we don't know what the alternative is. We don't truly understand the alternative. When I talk about anti-communism all the time, you know who the most hardcore anti-communists are? They listen, they email my show every day. People from Cuba who've escaped the United States of America. I can't tell you how many Cubans listen to the show. They understand what the loss of freedom actually means. Let me ask you, be honest with yourself. You don't have to email me. You're welcome to, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But let me ask you something, very, very point blank. You've sung the land of the free your whole life at the baseball game. Hand over your heart. Land of the free, baby. You've sung it your whole life. You said the Pledge of Allegiance your whole life. You've talked about freedom your whole life. Just about, 2 minutes ago when I said bigotry is freedom. Did that make you uncomfortable? Did it? Because if it did, then maybe you don't truly understand what freedom actually is. If you lived in a truly free country, that means you're free to be a bigoted jerk too. Totally free. If you, however, do live in a tyranny where people are going to try to decide where you can shop, what you can say, what you can own, what you can drive, you don't live in the land of the free anymore. You already live in a tyranny. You already do. People complain about China all the time. China this and China that. Can you believe they did this in China? Look at these. Look what they did in China. We arrested a pastor for having church in America 2 years ago. We arrested a man out paddleboarding by himself in the ocean. We, to this day, have cops walking into restaurants, shutting them down because the restaurant committed the crime of opening when he was ordered not to. To this day, people talk about the coming tyranny. The truth is, tyranny's already here. But the problem is, people don't know it's already here because they don't know what freedom actually is. Freedom is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. Freedom is that piece of trash in the corner getting to say whatever he wants about you and your face, your skin color, your religion, your orientation. That's real freedom. And if you don't like that, maybe you don't like freedom, or maybe you don't understand it. We got to be aware of these things, right? All right. Enough of this. We're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about people who are anxiously trying to take your freedom away from you. They're very committed. And we have a great email update. But first, we have this. We have finally settled on a name for the chalk box we are going to be sending to lawmakers. You know, when GOP lawmakers get a little low T.
Let me just say that there is no room in the.
We're going to send them just simply called the chalk box with the subtitle underneath it. Is that called a subtitle underneath it, fellas? With a subtitle underneath it called the chalk box because your caucus is soft. That is what we have settled on because we have a GOP in this country whose testosterone levels are somehow below 8-year-old girls. We have to increase that. We don't want to give them big pharma products and hurt them, so we're going to give them natural herbal supplements from Chalk. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Get a Male Vitality Stack subscription, fellas. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off the subscription. Go now.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Billy Mac is a detective down in Texas.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and we are getting ready to stand with striking workers very loudly. Stand with them. What, Chris? I may be making signs. No, we won't go. And all the stupid chants and things that, what, Chris? I can make signs and do chants. You're just jealous because you can't. All right, let's do a little email update. See, I read this one last night, and I just thought it was hilarious. I thought it was awesome. And this is part of the reason I think this is awesome. I love when people who feel scared and alone, like maybe you feel right now, or I have moments where I'm very worried about what's going on in the country. I don't feel like anyone thinks like me, and we're alone, and we're all. I love when Jesse Kelly's show listeners, when they come together, because it's such a comfort. Like when I go to listener events, when I go visit a station, and I love doing that, go visit an affiliate, and I usually hang out with people when I'm there. It does me good. It makes me feel good because you look around and you think, man, so many people think like I think. And so I read this email last night. I'm going to read it again now because we have an update. This is too hilarious. Jesse, this story happened a month ago, too good not to share. My family's stationed at West Point, New York. One evening, I stopped by the local gyro shop to pick up dinner, made small talk with another woman in line. I mentioned I was headed to my daughter's high school volleyball game. She responded with, "Did you see that video?" I immediately knew which video she was referring to. It was the one where the boy on the girls' volleyball team hit an opposing player in the face and gave her a concussion. I replied with, "Yes, that was horrible. I can't believe this is something else I'm going to have to worry about now." Using my quick deduction skills, I figured she must lean to the right if she'd seen the video because mainstream media wasn't covering this story. So I blurted out, "Do you listen to radio, to talk radio?" She gasped and said, "Yes." So I continued, "Do you listen to Jesse Kelly?" She replied with a little sass in her voice. I love that part, by the way. Of course, that would be our people. With a little sass in her voice. "Yes, he's on in the car outside right now." Then we grabbed each other's arms and screamed and jumped up and down like little schoolgirls for having found a new friend that shares our convictions. Anyway, I'm sure we looked like crazy people for a minute there, but it was really exciting to meet a fellow Jesse fan. signs off with, listen, thank you. So I read that last night. Today, tonight, we show up, and this email is in there. The subject is, I'm the West Point lady. I'm going to have to do some editing here. So she starts out saying, holy poop. I'm going to do my own edits here. Holy poop. I just heard you read the email from the other West Point spouse. Holy poop. Ha ha ha. So awesome. I'm the other wife who jumped up and down like a schoolgirl in the Greek restaurant. Jesse, we are happy to have you here on 710. Thank you for carrying Rush's torch. All the best. Thank you, by the way, to 710 WOR of New York for bringing that message out there and bringing people together. And I just think that stuff is so freaking cool when people find each other. I love it so much. I love it. All right, let's get through a couple more emails before we stand with the striking workers, Chris. You remember last night we had to address the farting situation on Tim Pool. Was there a fart? Wasn't there a fart? Who did it? So on and so forth. Again, I say there wasn't one at all because there was no smell. And I dang sure know it wasn't me because I wouldn't do that. But I have to show up today and this is what I get. This is what I get. I get no respect, Chris. I sound like Rodney Dangerfield. No respect. This one says, Brother Jesse, I was watching the Timcast show, and I'm sorry, brother, but that was at the very least a poot. I actually thought you were going to start ripping someone for cutting loose, but I can understand you remaining silent if you were the guilty wind cutter and you can't use the odor defense as they may have had an Eden Pure air cleaner. It says Semper Fi. But don't think that was alone. I got tons and tons of these because you're not nice. This one says, hey, Jesse, maybe that you didn't smell that fart because they had an Eden Pure going full blast because somebody wasn't feeling good. I don't like you. All right. Look, maybe they did have an Eden Pure thunderstorm or three going in the studio. And I probably wouldn't have known it because the Eden Pure thunderstorm is just this little black box that goes right in the outlet in the wall. You hardly know it's there. And it's constantly cleaning the air out. Maybe Mr. Fart, whoever he was, if he was there, maybe he did plug an Eden Pure thunderstorm right under his chair and it just sucked that fart right out of the air. Just to, what, Chris? You don't know what these things can do, Chris. Get yourself a 3-pack of Eden Pure thunderstorms and clean the air in your home, in your office. It really does. It doesn't cover up smells. It eliminates them. Constantly cleaning your air. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse3, gets you $200 off a 3-pack. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse3, all right? Now, I normally am not all for this we're going on strike thing. I mean, I get it. I understand it. Not really my thing, but I understand it. I'm not judging you if you've ever gone on strike, but it's just not my thing. However, I saw this strike today or potential strike today, and I don't think I've ever been filled with so much passion for these striking workers. I want what they want. I stand behind them. I am with you. When I read this headline, and man, it filled me with inspiration. This is what it said. More than 1,000 New York Times employees threatened to walk off the job. New York Times employees, this is your time, all right? This is your time. You have been oppressed. I don't know what your complaints are, actually, but you've been oppressed and you've been put upon. And the only thing you can do, if you're a New York Times employee, the only thing you can do is pack up your stuff right now and walk off the job and never return. Thumb your nose at the boss and shut down the New York Times. The Jesse Kelly Show family, we stand with you, New York Times workers. You don't have to take it anymore. You don't have to work under these conditions at the New York Times. We're with you. Go get them, workers. New York Times workers. Go, go, go. Chris, we need signs. We need to make up signs and stuff like that. Yeah, we'll put the signs behind us, Michael. We'll put the signs behind us that show these workers we stand in solidarity with you. It's been a grind. Stop the time. See that? I didn't even start them. What? God, what, fellas? I told you we could start our chants. It's been a grind. Stop the times. It's been a grind. I'm with you, New York Times workers. You don't have to. It's basically a sweatshop there. Do you want to live under this kind of tyranny, or are you going to shut them down? Stand up for yourself. All right. Now, that's enough of that. We've stood with the workers. We've fought the good fight. Now we have to go talk about a couple ugly things right now. And no, I'm not going to start playing clips of The View. It's not those kind of ugly things. We have to discuss the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We have to discuss you being a target of the system, what it may feel like, what it may look like. How do they do what they do? How do they destroy people's lives? Why? How do they justify the destruction of people's lives? This may take a couple minutes to unpack, but we have to unpack it to understand where we're going. Hang on. Listen
what I say. Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.